Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wall. And this is episode 89. Well, we're definitely moving up there, Dawn.
Yes, we are.
Why, you had a nice Christmas?
Yes, it was very quiet too.
Good. I'm still waiting on my present.
You are?
Still waiting. I have somebody to bear witness.
Oh, okay? Pastor Joe.
Yeah, he has a present coming too.
Oh.
So I'm just, hey. Well, welcome back, Pastor. Hope you had a nice Christmas.
Yeah, it's been nice. I'm still having it.
Okay.
Oh, you're still having it?
Okay. Yes, in my tradition, okay. It's 3 days at least.
At least 3 days. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Like, but seriously, in the Eastern Christianity, it is not 1 day celebration, it's 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
Like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on again. I don't know how many times you've been on, but we have you as the most. And I want to thank all our podcast listeners, whatever medium you may be using, we want to thank you for using that. Of course, you can send your comments and your questions and your concerns to 954-388-8780 via WhatsApp. Well, Dawn.
Yep.
Before we get started, you know how we do it.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do this thing here. All right. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you once again for this wonderful day. We thank you for the holiday that we are celebrating with our families, Lord, and the festive time of year, Lord, even though it's time of COVID, Lord, that you're still on the throne. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and the things you will continue to do us. But most of all, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for this podcast, the speakers, all of the logistics that goes on, and everything that goes on here to make things possible so the word can go forth. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So actually, I'm going to go into the current event that you said, European culture for Christmas. What do they usually do? Because we asked Pastor Jen last week. So we'll ask you, what is your culture and what do they do for the holiday season?
I'm speaking about Eastern Europe, which can be quite different from Western Europe.
Okay.
Eastern Europe is more mystical. Christianity has a flavor of awe and wonder.
Okay.
And you can see that, you can sense that, especially in the winter celebrations, Christmas, New Year, and some other religious celebrations, festivals. And if there's something specific about it, I think it's much more relational than the Western civilization. In the area where I grew up, we would still go caroling. Although when I started growing up in the church, it was a no-no in the church.
Oh.
But we would run away and try to do something crazy. Yeah, so there was some sort of a disconnect between how the church viewed Christmas and the celebration around it and what was really going on, right? Because, for instance, as a child grown up or growing up in a Seventh-day Adventist family, you could not have a Christmas tree. Right. That was a sinful idol that you wanted to avoid at all cost, let alone pay for it. You know.
Wow.
So, what we would do, we would go and cut a branch from a pine somewhere in the neighborhood, and sneak it in when nobody sees.
Wow.
And then when my father discovered it, he would take it and give us a lesson. in his specific way. And so I have mixed feelings with regard to Christmas because of these childhood experiences. But then later, when I was a young person back in Romania, some of the churches were more progressive, and I had the chance to start my ministry in an area where there were not so many restrictions.
Okay.
When it comes to Christmas. So we would go caroling, we would go and just sing carols at the door of some important personalities of the village or of the town. You know, okay. they would appreciate that. So I have interesting stories. So we could do another hour on that.
No, right?
Well, of course.
At least. But by and large, I feel that there is still more spirituality in the Eastern Christian civilization when it comes to Christmas than in the Western. The Western celebration has become very commercial, very materialistic. Not that Eastern Orthodoxy or Eastern Christianity or any kind of Eastern religions did not take that over. But it's not, probably not the same depth.
Your sermon title, Apple Can Fall Far From the Tree. Okay, I was thinking that, you know, being the fact it's the holidays and you would tie that into the holidays, if that was the reason why you came with that title, or?
Yes, to me, the message that I delivered this Sabbath was a Christmas / New Year's message. Because, although Christmas was past now, we were still in the atmosphere of the celebration. And at the same time, this was the final Sabbath of the year. And we tried to project into 2021.
Right.
So, yes, in a way, it was bringing a Christmas message of Jesus Christ being the one that can make the apple fall far from the tree. At the same time, give hope for 2021 that although 2020 was or has been a very difficult year, we can rely on God even though the perspectives are not very bright. Because if we want to be honest, based on the information that is out there, 2021 seems more gloomy than 2020.
Exactly.
What they're saying, yes.
Yep.
And yet, I believe there is hope. And I believe the most important aspect in a crisis is to see or to know who you are in that crisis. That's why I emphasized the role of God in handling the life of the apple. Because when we go through crisis, when we don't see the future, we tend to panic. And there's a lot of personal dialogue, conversation that goes on. Or I would say goes off. When something happens to you, then you start searching for the cause. And quite often you go back to the family tree and to the roots of it. And it's very comfortable sometimes to just find somebody to blame and say, hey, this is happening to me because of my father, or mother, or grandfather, or grandmother. Well, all my family has been like this. So, hey, what do you expect from me? Because in the end, the apple will not fall far from the tree.
Right.
But that's a very unhealthy way of processing reality.
Exactly.
Because you constantly come up with something that excuses your decision.
Yeah.
Yep.
And gives you some sort of confirmation that, yeah, there's no way to do it different because that's the way, you know.
That's the way
and
we do it.
You have to just go ahead and whatever comes, comes.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
You know, I when I hear the term chip off the old block like you used, my father used that. And I had to, like, look at him. I'm like, I don't see myself being a chip off a block like him. But he said it in a proudness way, you know, because you can look at it both ways. But it's the way he said it, you know. And then you mentioned about, like, father, like son, like mother, like daughter. And I don't know. And then you talked about the two genealogies of Jesus Christ. That, I don't know. I was just saying how you see in the part of the Jewish, saying Jesus was Jew, and then you say, well, not necessarily true. And then you look at the genealogy of the people that came along, Jesus Christ. I was trying to put a correlation with that together, you know, with the apple falling far from the tree.
This idea of being preconditioned or predetermined by your ancestors is very strong, especially in the conservative segments of culture. And there are different sayings in different people, in different cultures, that express the same thought. And I very well remember when my mother would say, I'm just like my father. And it was rarely said in a positive context.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So what I'm trying to emphasize is that the somehow the inclination of people is to put you as a chip close to the old block in a negative context.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There are some positive aspects as well. Because, for instance, if somebody has inherited a musical gift or any kind of artistic skill or some big muscles because, hey, grandfather was a big guy and a strong guy or beautiful eyes or a smile, right, or hair or whatever it is, okay, or ears, right? So you can find positive aspects. But the truth is, most of the time, we would go and bring negativity into our conversations.
Yep.
Right.
And compare the apple to the tree, finding all the negative aspects that you can tie. And looking at how life functions, normality around us and within us, I said, okay, so let's see where Jesus as an apple could have fallen compared to the tree.
Right.
The two family trees that are mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
Now, obviously, biologically, there is only one family tree there because on the other side, it's God.
God, right.
So only the maternal family tree is described in the Bible. And I believe Luke chapter 3 describes that genealogy on the maternal side. But then you also have the other genealogy on Joseph's side, which seems to be a paternal family tree, but it's actually not Jesus's biological family tree, because Jesus was only the adoptive son. And yet there must be a reason why you have both genealogies.
Yeah.
All right. So then, yes, what I'm trying to convey is that God uses all kind of people and from all kind of walks of life and with all kind of stains attached to their lives. And the reason why God puts those names in Jesus' genealogy is not to be happy about the bad things they committed, but be grateful for the grace of God that can take a broken life, a messed up life, and still use it to bring the Savior into this world.
Exactly.
And to me, that is fantastic. And that gives me hope, because if the apple called Jesus Christ could fall far from the tree, you and I, we can also fall far from the tree when it comes to the negative aspects that we inherit biologically or psychologically or spiritually from our parents.
Okay. So when we think about all the different, when we looked at that genealogy, when you actually broke it down, you were talking about Rahab, you talked about Tamar's situation and David and Ruth and all of the different people. Let's think about today with our situation. We look at our own personal genealogy and we realize that, well, we have inherited a lot of different things from our forefathers.
Yeah.
How do we now, knowing God as we do, or having faith in God, try and maneuver that those things, let's say generational curses, do not continue? How do we try and do that with God's help?
Psychology, as I mentioned in my sermon yesterday, speaks about psychogenealogy. What that means is you go to a counselor, somebody that would work with you, a therapist. You sit down on the couch and they would start bringing things out, you know, and then they would help you recreate the family tree, well, as much as you can.
Right.
And they would work with you to try to detect, so that's the first step, detect, discover what went wrong, where went wrong, what went wrong, right? And then you have to decode that reality. How does that reality impact you? Okay, what is the implication of that?
Yeah.
How is it that somebody suffered something back in the days of slavery, and you can still see, feel it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These are very deep realities, and some people even tend to negate them, to deny them. But even science has gotten to the point where we do not minimalize the effects of what they call corporate personality. Because there's a psychology of the family or of the clan, of the tribe, of the larger context that keeps interfering or intersecting with your individual psychology.
Right.
So detect, decode, and then deactivate.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's what psychology says today.
Right.
Therapy. I believe there is an aspect that psychology and genetics have somehow neglected. And that is the brokenness of the human being, the sinfulness of the human being. Because neither genetics nor psychology would work with your spiritual brokenness.
Yeah.
Okay, they try to fix your body, your physical functionality.
Mm-hmm.
They try to fix your emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
And even those are very connected to the physical aspects because psychology is chemistry.
Right.
And chemistry is the functionality of your body in
right.
the end.
Right.
Okay. But not too many people would deal with your spiritual brokenness.
Right.
Your sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's where the value of the Savior comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus Christ, the healer, he's specialized, he's an expert in healing the brokenness of sin.
Yeah.
That's what Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says.
Mm-hmm.
He will save or he will heal his people from their sin.
Mm.
So this is where I believe the value of Christianity is.
Mm.
And this is where it is very important for somebody that is going through some turmoil and wants to go to a therapist. Mm.
Yeah.
You can go to a therapist and that therapist tries to fix your brokenness,
mm.
your emotional scars.
Yeah.
But there are underlying realities that are the brokenness and the distortions of sin.
Yeah.
So that's why a Christian therapist, somebody that believes in God,
mm.
that sees the value of Jesus Christ, the incarnate God,
mm-hmm.
and knows how you can be helped by God through prayer, through meditation,
right,
through conversation, yes, with God,
yes, yes.
That therapist is of extra value compared to anybody else.
Gotcha.
Let me interject. There's a part in the sermon that really was important to me about, you mentioned about ancestry baggage. Remember that?
Mm.
Yeah.
That woke up some things when you said that about,
yeah, it's those, like a package, you know,
yeah,
like a Christmas gift. There's a beautiful bow on it,
mm-hmm.
but God knows what's in the package,
mm.
you know? Or it's like when you want to go and travel and you want to leave, but somebody says, hey, wait, I have a suitcase for you. And you have all your complications in the suitcase.
Yeah.
And this of course, then has a direct bearing on somebody's marriage, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you have two people with two baggages.
Baggages, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And then sometimes they open the baggage and they say, okay, let's clear this out.
Yeah.
And then she tries to open his baggage and sort things out. And he starts sorting, yeah, her baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And they start putting things into a new baggage.
Wow.
And now the mess is even greater.
Yes.
But let me ask you a question. What about when you open your baggage and you have a luggage within the luggage?
Yeah.
Or you have more inside.
It's a very good illustration, because that's what happens, you know. And sometimes you have a baggage.
Yeah,
and you have the little baggage in the baggage, and for years, for decades, indeed, you have never touched that little baggage.
Yeah,
but then context is created, and somehow that little baggage, the ugly things,
yeah,
and then your spouse or even you are shocked, because even you forgot it, that thing was there, or you were not even aware. And that's the critical problem here, right?
Yeah.
And that's where you really need Jesus Christ. If you want to use the three-step method that psychology proposes,
yeah,
then you need to use Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ to help you detect, decode, and deactivate those repetitive patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what happens. Let me illustrate this. I have a colleague, a pastor colleague from Romania, that has a child. The child was born with the red hair. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, neither the father nor the mother had red hair.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then you would ask, okay, so whose child is this?
Mm.
But if you go back in the family tree, you will find somebody for sure from whom that child inherited. Mm-hmm. Meaning,
true.
You have your baggage. Mm-hmm. And within your baggage, you have the little baggage. Mm-hmm. And maybe it has never been activated during your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But you pass that baggage on.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have a child. And one day the child, in the life of the child, that baggage is opened up.
Wow.
And then you will say, hey, you have not inherited that from mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's from your mother.
Mm-hmm. Blame game.
When in fact you have carried that baggage with you, it was not activated in your life,
right?
But you passed it on. That's why they say that the education of a child starts generations before the conception of that child.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's a response. Just imagine what responsibility we have as parents, mm-hmm. right? Now that our children are already born, we would say, Lord, mercy, have mercy now, because it's done anyways.
Yeah.
But that's where, and I just mentioned the words epigenetics
mm-hmm.
or nutrigenetics.
Yeah.
Okay? Those are pretty new sciences
mm-hmm.
that suggest that there's no need for you to feel like you are doomed or you are cursed just because you inherited some health issues from your parents.
Right.
Because your behavior, your lifestyle, your way of feeding yourself can determine whether some sequences of your DNA are going to be activated or not.
Mm.
Okay? So that's why, even if I inherited a propensity toward diabetes
mm-hmm.
from my mother.
Mm.
That does not necessarily mean I have to become a diabetic.
Right.
But I can easily become one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So now scientifically, I have to be able to detect I have an issue here, right?
Mm.
So watch out what you swallow,
mm-hmm.
Joe.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, I'm talking about myself, not
yeah.
It applies to you, man.
It always. I'm attached to you, I know.
All right? Watch out what you're doing. Decode it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, hey, what does that mean for me? Because just looking at my mom, she's got kidney problems, she's got articulation problems, she's mm-hmm. got heart problems. She,
mm-hmm.
I cannot say a problem she doesn't have.
Mm.
And one way or the other, they are all connected to diabetes.
Right. Right.
Directly or indirectly.
Right.
Okay. So decode it. Understand what it means, what it entails,
mm-hmm.
what it implies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And deactivate it. And that's where behavior, habits.
Yeah.
Right. That's where lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
Eating, food, exercise,
mm-hmm.
sunshine,
mm-hmm.
right,
and all those natural healing factors come into play.
Wow. You said, and you read a quote from Councils of Health, and it said, the first sentence said, it is a sin to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the sins of our forefathers continue with us nowadays?
Okay, so let me start clarifying that quote. I may not have had enough time
right.
in my sermon to clarify it.
Mm.
There's that first sentence that is shocking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every sickness is sin.
Mm.
But then she goes on and clarifies that those children that inherit things from their parents, they are not to be censored because of their inheritance. Meaning, right, you are not guilty for what you have inherited.
Right.
But in the final analysis, every sickness is sin.
Mm.
Because what is sin? Mm-hmm. Or one definition of sin, it is messing up the laws of life.
Right.
Spiritual or physical or emotional, yeah, any kind of law of life, messing it up.
Right.
And that's how immediately you have consequences.
Mm.
And in the long run, those consequences sometimes seem to be detached from a sin source.
Mm.
And yet, in reality, they are sin-related.
Yes.
Okay. Now, she speaks about sickness here.
Mm.
Okay. I don't think necessarily that includes when somebody goes to a trial, right?
Mm-hmm.
When a godly man is afflicted by the enemy.
Mm.
Okay, so I don't think that belongs to the same category.
Okay.
Mm.
But lifestyle diseases, they are sin related.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what she suggests is that we have to become aware of what we have inherited and how we can live our life in a way that things change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we get these repetitive patterns that you're talking about.
Yes, that's how you deactivate them.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You discover them, you decode them, you deactivate them. Mm-hmm. But you asked what I believe about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I believe. This is what the Bible says.
Mm.
In several places, one of them being in the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm,
God clearly says that the sins of the fathers or of the parents are punished in the children.
Mm.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that you are personally guilty or you have a personal responsibility for what your parents did? No. Your parent is responsible for what he or she did. But in your life, if the patterns, the negative patterns are not deactivated by God's grace, mm-hmm, and that's where the other branch of God's character comes into play, because mm-hmm, he says, yes, I'm going to punish to the third or fourth generation.
Yeah.
And I have a personal understanding of this. I believe this means that in three or four generations, if somebody enters the pathway of sin and sinfulness and mm-hmm degradation, in three or four generations, that family tree dies out.
Mm.
I may be wrong. It's based on my personal observation.
Mm.
But that's what it looks like.
Mm.
On the other hand, God says, but I will have mercy until the 1,000th generation.
Wow.
Now watch the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
What God can do when he takes over.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because which generation is a 1,000 generation? We don't have 1,000 generations on this earth. Okay. So what God actually says there in a very Hebraic way of expressing these deep things of God, he says, hey, when I do mercy, when I pour out my grace on somebody, that lasts eternally.
Mm.
It goes until eternity.
Yeah. Wow, that's so true. So when we think about all the different things in our family's background, are you saying then, say, for example, we have alcoholism in our tree. Yeah. Way back, the grandfather did it, the great grandfather did it, whatever. And it comes down to you now. Now you have a choice and you get involved in it without realizing. And then you get to the reality of knowing that, you know what, God, I don't really want to do this anymore. Does it mean then now when you're at that juncture, you're able to stop that generational thing from continuing?
Yeah, see, that resonates with me because I'm in that situation. Okay. I have two grandfathers that passed because of alcohol.
Mm.
Okay. Directly or indirectly, but it was pretty clear in both cases that they had an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know, although I never drank,
mm-hmm.
I've never gotten drunken,
mm-hmm.
except for one situation when I was a child and the must in the keller got spoiled, so it got alcohol in it.
Right.
So we drank as children and we were happy and then we went to sleep, you know. So that's all. But other than that, I never drank.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet somehow I know when I sense the smell of alcohol.
Yeah.
Or when I see alcohol in a glass,
mm-hmm.
in a cup.
Mm.
I know I'm predisposed, so I have to stay away.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, if somebody in my situation has gotten into it already, I can tell you it is a terrible struggle.
Right, right.
Mm.
And it's totally different from somebody that has no propensity toward alcoholism.
Right.
Right.
So we cannot say that we have equal difficulties. No, mm-hmm. no. It's different.
It's different.
It depends on what is there in the baggage. Mm.
Right?
And this thing is very deep, very strong. And I think there's a psychological reality that doubles it. Mm. Let me explain what that means. I'm trying to be protective here, but I've seen people that have gone through a divorce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I've seen a situation that was very close to me, so I analyzed that,
mm-hmm.
to see how this really works. Mm-hmm. Okay, the moment somebody got into a divorce, immediately, some people in the environment, especially in a conservative culture, mm-hmm. will say, well, you shouldn't be surprised by this, because mm-hmm. just go back one generation. Parents are divorced, mm-hmm. grandparents are divorced,
yeah.
great-grandparents are divorced,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would you expect?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
No statistics.
So let's see what the effect of that is.
Mm.
So now, if I've been through a divorce, and my daughter is being courted,
mm-hmm.
by your son,
mm-hmm.
then it's immediately inoculated in your mind by society,
yeah.
that you better watch out and tell your son, hey, don't do this, because you are gonna end up in a divorce. Why?
Wow.
Because that girl's father, mm. has been through one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you see how this works?
Yeah.
So this is demoniac.
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
You know, because yes, there is an underlying reality, but then it's doubled by a psychological effect.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. It's natural and artificial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I say you need a savior,
you do.
I really mean it.
Definitely do.
You can get to the core.
Yeah. Somebody that really can deal not only with the biological problems you have,
mm-hmm.
not only with the emotional struggles you're going through,
mm-hmm.
but with the core issue.
Yeah.
The sin-related brokenness.
Wow.
To detect, decode, and deactivate.
All right.
Yep.
Wow.
All right, Joe.
Who was that educator you talked about? What was her name again? The Canadian lady?
Canadian. Yeah, her name is Joanne Benoit. That's a French name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it from his jazz singer, whose last name is Benoit. Yeah,
Benoit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I could not find the book in English. I wonder if they translated it or not. Okay. I found other translations. I know it's translated into Romanian, Italian, and some other languages. But I just wanted to use that title, because the title says, the more things change, the more they stay the same. and that's a pretty tough thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we call it a fad.
Call it what?
We call it a fad.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what pretty much we call it, a fad.
It's,
you know,
it's things like if you are going round and round and round and round and round, and it never ends.
Never ends. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
So the cycle never is broken. It's never broken. Okay, yeah. And that's where the generational curse comes into play, right? And people are preconditioned by this.
Yeah.
And I think I should make a warning here. The Bible, and Ellen White confirms the same thing from a different perspective. Clearly says our focus should not be on what the devil does.
No, so true. Yeah, right.
But on what Jesus can do.
Can do.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a psychological reality again.
Mm-hmm.
If your brain, if your mind, if your heart is always there, you know, with the, oh man, this is what the devil did to my parents, to my grandparents, whatever, okay, then you will be under that that power, that force.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The inheritance,
mm-hmm.
the hereditary baggage that you have taken with you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Whereas you can focus on what Jesus can do, and allow him to work with you, and sometimes, well, many times, almost all the times, Jesus uses human beings around you to help you.
Yeah.
A wife can help a husband immensely. Mm. A husband can help a wife immensely. Mm-hmm. There is a myth, I believe it's a myth. In psychology, they say you cannot do therapy with your family members.
Why?
Okay.
I've heard that before somewhere. I did hear that.
When, in fact, that's what we do all the time.
Yeah, we're with them all the time. So
every day you're with them. Yeah.
Only as parents do therapy with our kids all the time.
Yeah,
exactly. I've heard
so that. So what you are telling me is that I should not do therapy with my kids. I should send them to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Have somebody else educate them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Because education, by definition, is recreating the image of God in human beings. Healing, if you want, the human being.
Yeah.
Okay? So then what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
But how great it can be when husband and wife can pray together and have the conversation together and become aware of some realities.
Mm.
Yeah.
In a non-judgmental way.
Right.
In Amen. A supportive way.
Supportive.
Where my wife can tell me, hey Joe, I know these kind of reactions can come from the abusive context you grew up in.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can tell my dear wife, yeah, you know, but there is aggressivity and there is passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
And both are toxic.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
True.
Here we go.
Go to the psychologist. Let's go to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And pray together. Pray for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, complicated.
Very complicated.
But that's why we have a savior.
That's right.
And for that, the antidote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Don, I'm done.
I'm done too.
I got what I needed. More education with wifey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, once again, we thank you. I hope you now you're in your second day of your celebration of Christmas with your family.
Yes. Well, it's third day already.
Third day. You're right. Thank you.
Yeah, but doesn't the song speak about 12 days of Christmas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So nine more to go. So.
Yes.
We'll ask you about that when it's done.
Yeah, I wonder how is it that you guys did not ask me whether I am starting a new series with the new year, but that's next time.
Yeah. Oh,
who is teaching next week?
Yeah.
Is it going to be you or is it going to be the new pastor?
Sorry. Next week, well, the new pastor is not going to be able to be with us, or new pastor, mm-hmm. In the first Sabbath.
Okay.
Then the second Sabbath and third Sabbath are week of prayer.
Yes.
Right.
So he will deliver his first sermon, and he will be introduced practically to the congregation on the fourth Sabbath of January.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the plan for now.
Okay.
He's still on vacation. By the way, he had a birthday.
Did he have a baby?
Yesterday.
He had a birthday?
A birthday yesterday.
Okay. Wow.
So not the baby. The baby, I think, was not supposed to come yet. So hopefully.
Okay. Good.
Nice one. Baby. Yeah.
But yeah, we are excited to to have him on the team. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah. Is he else, Don?
No, that's it.
Right. I love your questions, Don. Love the questions. All right, Pastor, if you don't mind, lead us out.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for such a Savior that is an expert in detecting, decoding, deactivating those repetitive patterns, negative patterns that can mess up our life and the life of people around us. So Lord, we pray that you will help our audience, the people that have been listening, or those that have been watching the sermon, so that we all can really find the therapist, Jesus Christ, and find the right people that can help us. Either our family members, God-fearing family members, or people from the church family, or professional therapists, that may be tools used by your grace, so that our life will be not only saved when Jesus comes back, but also healed, undergo. So Lord, I just want to pray that this healing power will be manifested in our lives in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Enjoy your family.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate that. And you got nine more days, okay? Nine more.
Yes.
Nine more. Don, thank you as well. I always enjoy your family. Enjoy the rest of the holidays. See you in the new year, God willing.
God willing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we thank all our podcast listeners and blessings to their families.
Happy New Year to you guys.
Thank you, Pastor.
For listeners.
Thank you, all our listeners. So once again, any questions, comments, and concerns, 954-388-8780 via WhatsApp. And to all, I wanted to say all a good night, but that's still in the morning time. It won't work. It won't work. Goodbye, Pastor.
God bless.
God bless, everyone. Be safe.
Yes.
Take care, Don.
Be healthy.
Yes, definitely.